Tony D on the third shift.
This guy's on. Back to him.
Back to the Quicken Loans studios.
And back to Tony D.
All right, NFL free agency. Yeah, we had a lot of fun yesterday breaking it all down. Adam Rank joins us from the NFL Network to help us pretty much analyze what we saw in the early part of NFL free agency. How are you, Adam?
I'm doing wonderful, Tony. How you doing?
Good. Always good talking to you, my friend. All right, so the Brock Osweiler deal. Are you surprised that in the end, John Elway and the Denver Broncos did not get that done?
I mean, a little bit. You would expect that the defending champions would have a little bit of pull with him. They gave him his opportunity, got him a Super Bowl ring. But you know what? At the end of the day, you know, he does have a Super Bowl ring now. He does. He was part of that championship run, and now he wants to go to a team where he's going to get a little bit more guaranteed money. He's going to have his own identity. He's not going to have to live in the shadow of not only the former quarterback, but the general manager as well, who both won Super Bowl titles. So now he goes to Houston with a clean slate. He's got DeAndre Hopkins, and they got Lamar Miller. I think it's a pretty good deal for Brock Osweiler from his perspective.
Yeah, touch on that with what Houston just did, because not only Osweiler, but they bring in Lamar Miller. So in terms of where Houston is and the team he's going to, how is it better?
You know, it seems interesting. I mean, that's the one thing that you can say about it. Like, on paper in March, you know, you look at that and you're like, oh, yeah, it's good. Yeah. It's like you're walking out of your fantasy draft. Like, I don't see how I lose this year. Everything looks perfect and everything should go according to plan. But, you know, I mean, Houston wanted to go out and upgrade the quarterback position, and I think that they did. I like Brian Hoyer. I think he can do well in the right system. But I think the ceiling is going to be a little bit higher with Brock Osweiler. And they upgraded at the running back position. Arian Foster had been so good for so long, but he'd also battled injuries over the last couple of years, and you really couldn't count on him to put out an entirely healthy season. So going with Lamar Miller, who's high on upside, who showed that in small doses that he could be pretty good. I don't know what the deal was in Miami. He just never seemed to get his opportunity, but now he's going to get a chance to run the ball 300 times with Houston. And if you look what Arian Foster was able to do behind that line, I think he can have similar type production to that. So on paper, it seems like a great idea. I mean, if somebody's trying to explain it to me, I'd nod politely and say, yeah, seems like it should work. And this was a 9-7 team that made the playoffs last year. So I think that they could go back, and they definitely, to me, seem like the front runners in the AFC South.
What did you see in the seven games that Brock Osweiler played for the Denver Broncos? What did you see in him?
You know, I did like his arm strength. I thought that I thought he was able to make some throws that Peyton Manning wasn't able to do at this stage of his career. There's a little bit of fearlessness in some stretches. I know in the game against Chicago, one of his final drives really stood up to me. And, of course, the Bears didn't have the greatest defense in the world. But he was able to move that team. And the throw that he made on the winning touchdown drive, it was a pretty great throw. You know, it was one of those things that you really needed to see him step up and make a throw where he's got to fit it in a small window and have that confidence in himself to get it done. So, and it's a very small sample size. You know, we've seen a lot of these quarterbacks come out and play in the short term. I think Matt Flynn, who famously, you know, did it against the Detroit Lions a couple of years ago and turned that into a huge free agent contract, that it's easy to get sucked in by the sample size. But I think that over those seven games, we did see a little bit of glimpse and a little bit of some maturity there with him. So I think for Houston, it's a pretty good gamble. And, I mean, the quarterback position's at a premium right now. If everybody's fighting over Colin Kaepernick, it should show you that quarterback is at a premium.
I know the supply and demand aspect of this makes fans go, yeah, did we really pay that much for this guy? But did you see any deal that made you go, oh, my gosh, what are they thinking?
They all do that. I mean, at some point where you look at it, you think of the Imani Olivier Vernon's getting and all the deals that are being thrown around. But it's part of the way the NFL has to do business. You know, it's a very profitable league. And the players are entitled to a huge portion of that pie. So they go out, and every year somebody goes out and makes a lot of money. And the same thing next year, March of 2017, we're going to be talking about a lot of players who might not be the marquee players in the league getting huge contracts because these teams have some money to spend. They've got holes to fill. And so you see this each and every year. I mean, it's not like, when you think of Olivier Vernon, like, he's a nice player. You know, you think of him, you're like, yeah, that's good. You know, but he's now one of the highest paid players in the league. You know, I mean, he's making more money, or as much money as J.J. Watt or some of these other superstars or even some of the guys the Texans brought in. I mean, it's baffling, but it happens every year. It happens in every sport. It always seems ridiculous, but, you know, it's interesting to see the way that it's breaking out. I did like, you know, a couple of moves that that Jacksonville made. I thought they improved. I thought the Bears did a pretty good job, too, of addressing some needs and not going crazy with the money. So it's one of those things you got to take it with a grain of salt and figure, you know, they're playing with Monopoly money with all this TV cash that's floating around. It's basically Monopoly money being thrown here and there. So nothing, I mean, I've come to a point now that nothing surprises me. So except for that the Browns are still not doing anything, although that's not a surprise.
I don't want to put all my chips in on Jacksonville, but there's a part of me that wants to put a couple on the side for them. When you look at the way, I feel like any moment that the tide should turn for Jacksonville, they should start being a good team. Are you reading the same thing from the Jags?
No, absolutely. I like the Chris Ivory deal. I thought that was a pretty good move for them to get another running back in there to go along with T.J. Yeldon. I would have liked for them to at least kick the tires on Matt Forte, maybe bring him in to kind of keep. I'm biased when I'm saying that because I kind of, you know, I'm full. I just wanted Matt Forte to go anywhere except for the Packers, so I'll say that. But the one thing that I like what Jacksonville's doing is that their offense is already pretty good. You know, Blake Bortles looks like he's going to be a franchise quarterback, and he's cost controlled over the next couple of years. Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, two great young wide receivers, again very productive, cost controlled. So they can put a little bit of those resources on the defensive side of the football and start to turn that around and have the kind of defense that Gus Bradley had when he was coordinating up there in Seattle. So I think Jacksonville's very close. And I think that as we get into July and August, a lot of people, the trendy pick, all the football hipsters will be sitting there drinking our grapefruit IPAs and being like, look, the Jags this year are going to be that team that makes the miracle run. And I think it's warranted.
The Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson is the new coach. They've got some, you know, some analytics guys in the front office, and yet guys just want to run out of Cleveland as fast as possible. We can joke all we want, but at the same time, is it a little surprising? Because I thought there was going to be some new blood there that was going to try to keep the Browns alive.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. Is everybody's panicking, and they're like, hey, they're losing four starters off a team that won three games. Like, what are you really missing there? I mean, what's the big deal? I don't know if I'm telling tales out of school, but the Browns might not make the playoffs next year. So that's one of the things that they have to do is they got to go down and they got to strip that team down basically to the studs by getting rid of some of their so-called studs. And when you think of the guys that they're letting go, I mean, Alex Mack is 30 years old. They've got the best out of him. You know, it's really not a huge deal. Let him go to Atlanta, finish out, play with Kyle Shanahan. He really liked playing with him. That's fine. Gibson, again, he had one great year in 2014, came back a little bit in 2015. I think he can play well in Jacksonville, but again, why would you throw the money over a guy who you really don't know if he's going to be all that productive for you? Let somebody else roll the dice on him and see what's going to happen. Travis Benjamin, I think, is a nice player. I think he's going to go to San Diego and have a great season. I think he's a perfect slot receiver for the San Diego Chargers, but again, what's the point of having a player like that when you don't have a quarterback to throw him the ball? I mean, it's a nice piece to have, but it's really, you know, it's like having nice rims on a crappy car. Like, it's nice, but it's not really practical. So, and then the only one that I think that you look at and you're like, I don't quite get what they're doing is the Mitchell Schwartz thing. But again, you know, that's one player. That's the one. If you want to sit there and talk about that one, I think that was probably a bad move. But ultimately, I think this team needed to go all the way back. They're probably going to have to regress a couple of years. If you look at a similar situation, the Raiders were where they are a couple of years ago. And when Reggie McKenzie took over, they went back. I mean, for a couple of years, they still kept going back and regressing. But now you're starting to see the fruits of their labor. They've got the quarterback. They've got the receiver. They've got a nice young defense, Khalil Mack. So it turns around at some point. So I think for the Browns, there's going to be a light at the end of the tunnel. It's not going to be this season. It probably won't be 2017, but they got to start somewhere, and they had to make some tough calls.
Adam, always good talking to you, my friend. Thank you so much, as always.
Hey, the pleasure is on this side of the phone.
Adam Rank, NFL Network on NFL Free Agency. We'll get more into it. Did the Broncos make the right move in philosophy? Yes, philosophy, as John Elway puts it. And what about the Tennessee Titans? Rashard Matthews is a good player. They got DeMarco Murray for a steal. We'll evaluate that. And more free agency moves. It's Tony D on the Nighttime Yahoo Sports Radio.